Going to be in Colossians chapter 2, start off the new year with Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Context here is not about a new year, but the principles we have here are good thoughts for us to ponder as we determine to live for the Lord in 2022. So I invite you to follow along with me as I read Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Let's pray. Father, we have much to unpack from this verse, so Lord, I ask that you would help us to understand it, but not just to know it, but that we might do it. Lord, help each one of us to commit to living godly lives for you this year. And for some, that commitment will be a matter of simply continuing to be faithful with a little bit of growth. For some of us, perhaps it means a radical change in our lives. But regardless of where we fall in the spectrum, Lord, help us to analyze our own lives, to see ourselves clearly through the lens of the Word of God, and to live 2022 by faith, seeking to please you. So, Father, speak to us through your Word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to a new year. How many of you made New Year's resolutions? There's some hands, good. How many of you have broken them already? Perhaps more of us have made New Year's resolutions than are willing to raise our hand. I mean, it's first Sunday of the year, we're still recuperating from a late night, and we just don't have the strength to raise our hands, that's fine. Oftentimes our resolutions are to lose weight or to exercise more, maybe to read more, or specifically to read our Bibles more, or maybe it's to be on social media less. All these are good targets. They may be lacking specifics, because just saying more doesn't really mean a whole lot other than not the same or less. But they're good targets. Knowing your destination is a good start. These are examples of changes that we desire to make in a new year, but sometimes our resolutions are not about making changes. Sometimes our resolutions are to stay the same. Maybe in the last few years you have been eating healthier and you haven't been eating out as much, and so you resolve to continue to do so. Or maybe you did read through the Bible last year, made it through the whole thing. You didn't get to Leviticus and go, I'm done. You read the whole thing. Good job. And you want to continue to faithfully read the Word of God throughout the year. By the way, we have Bible reading schedules again. They're on the little black table in the back. They break apart into nice little bookmarks that you can keep in your paper Bible. If you're using a paper Bible, if you're using something digital, there are many digital ways out there to read through the Bible in the year. If you've tried to read through the Bible in a year before and you gave up somewhere along the line, maybe it was in Leviticus, maybe you made it to Hosea, and I don't know. But maybe you've tried and you failed. Let me encourage you to start out again. A new year, a new desire to read the Word of God. Sometimes what happens is you just miss a few days and you get behind, and so you're discouraged, and so you just leave it behind. Let me encourage you, if you're using the faith bookmarks where you've got a little check mark to mark off each day, you get a few days behind, just go ahead and mark those days off. You have permission. Because the point is to develop a habit of reading the Scripture, not whether or not you get through the whole thing, right? So don't let a few days being behind cause you to stumble. Some of us need to deliberately choose to be readers of the Word of God. Some of us need to deliberately choose to continue to be readers of the Word of God. In today's passage, we're going to see some ways that Paul is encouraging the church to stay steady, to continue to be faithful, and we'll see ways that he's encouraging us to grow. So it seems quite fitting for us to look at this passage in the new year. Our big idea this morning is God wants your life to continually center on the Lord Jesus. He wants each of us to focus our lives on the Lord Jesus. So we'll start off this morning with a new year, same gospel. By the way, if you're into alliteration, today is your day. Make no guarantees for the rest of the year. I'll alliterate when it fits the passage, and it fits really well this week, so I'm sticking with it. New year, same gospel. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord. The therefore needs a context. You know this. You need to know what is going on that Paul would write, therefore. Well, if you look back in chapter 1, let me read verses 15 through 20. A prominent section of chapter 1 is his adoration of Jesus, our adoration of Jesus. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture, so I couldn't pass up reading it to you this morning. Colossians 1, 15 through 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. As chapter 1 closes and chapter 2 begins, Paul is connecting the work of Christ, his perfect life, his death, burial, and resurrection. Paul connects the work of Christ to everyday living. And we need that, don't we? Just knowing the truths of Scripture and having it disconnected from how we live our lives is not helpful. And so that's what he's doing at the end of chapter 1, beginning of chapter 2. Then in verses 3 and 4 of Colossians chapter 2, he gives a foreshadowing of what is to come later. It says, verses 3 and 4 of Colossians 2, "In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm saying this so that no one will deceive you with plausible arguments," or arguments that sound reasonable. Now, so in the verses that follow today's passage, Paul warns the believer against falling for these plausible but false teaching and philosophies. That's where we find ourselves in verse 6. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord. Therefore, because of who Jesus is, from chapter 1, because of who Jesus is and because of how we are to live our lives in a way connected to Jesus, we are then to live a certain way, and we'll get to that in a moment. So that's what that therefore is pointing us to in verse 6. The second word, therefore, as, or in the same way. In the same way what? In the same way that you received Jesus. Well, how did you receive Jesus? It was not by works of righteousness, was it? You received Jesus by faith. In the same way that you received Jesus. There is a reason we so often teach and preach the reality of salvation by faith alone, through grace alone, made possible through Christ alone. It's because our human nature is to find satisfaction in personal achievement. It is. I mean, maybe it's just cleaning the house, and you finally get the house clean, and it looks good, and you find some satisfaction in it. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. But my point is, when we find personal satisfaction in our spiritual walk, that's where we start having some pride well up that is an ungodly type of pride. It's our nature to find satisfaction in our personal achievement. We want to think that we are in God's good graces because we finally arrived. We've finally gotten past that besetting sin that we've been struggling with for years. We finally had some victory over that sin. Or maybe it's we finally read the Bible every day for the past month, or we finally made it through the whole Bible last year. Whatever that achievement is, we might want to hang on to, but the reality of Scripture is that our relationship to the Father is perfect only because of the Son, not because of what we do. It's not because of us. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, we need to stop on Christ Jesus the Lord here a second. Literally, in the Greek, if we were to translate every article, every word, it says, as you received the Christ Jesus the Lord. Now that's awkward. But Paul nowhere else uses that exact wording. In fact, the New Testament nowhere else uses that exact wording. To have an article, the, before Christ, and the article, the, before Lord. Now, articles, grammar, come on. I think Paul's trying to tell us something here. By emphasizing the word Lord, by putting the in front of it, because normally you would just say, Christ Jesus the Lord, or the Christ, or the Lord who is Christ, you wouldn't have articles in there twice. That article, the word the, is there to emphasize the word Lord. He calls him the Christ because that's his title, right? Christ means Messiah. That is Jesus' title. He calls him Jesus because that's his name, and he calls him the Lord because that is his authority over our lives. So he says, as you have received the Christ Jesus the Lord. Receiving Jesus is more than simply an assent or an agreement with the concept of Jesus. In scriptural terms, receiving Jesus is a full-on commitment to him. And because he is the Lord, that means we need to do what he says. It's a new year, but it's the same gospel. The good news, the gospel, is that our sins are permanently set aside by Jesus Christ, and that truth never changes. The cross is not like training wheels on a little kid's bike. Training wheels are there until the child learns how to have some steadiness while riding, to learn how to use the pedals, whatever it is. And then once they're able to ride the bicycle without the training wheels, what do? We take the training wheels off, and then they just go on their merry way. The cross is not like that. The cross is not training wheels to get us started into the Christian life. No, the gospel of Jesus is just as important for a believer who has been living a godly life for 50 years as it is for someone who just got saved. And that gospel, that good news, is that Jesus is the one who paid for our sins, that Jesus is Lord of all creations, and that Jesus is Lord of us. He has authority over each one of us. Now, we might bristle at that thought, at giving up our own freedom. We are Americans after all. We might bristle at the thought of submitting to the Lord's rule in our lives. But as we read the Scriptures, as we understand the Scripture, the only alternative to submitting to Jesus' rule in our lives is to be enslaved to sin. Well, compared to being enslaved, submitting to Jesus as Lord doesn't sound so bad, does it? And it shouldn't sound bad, because the reality is this: if someone feels that having Jesus in charge of their life is somehow bad to some degree, then you really don't understand Jesus. Because he is gentle and kind and he does what's right for you. He commands for you things that are good for you. Not good for you like eating broccoli if you don't like eating broccoli. Not like that. Good for you as in for your absolute best, and there's no substitute because there are plenty of substitutes to broccoli. He only does what is best and right. It's a new year, but the same gospel. New year, same gate. I know I'm using a little bit of a risk using the word gate, G-A-I-T, but I do believe it's a good word. The word in verse 6 is walk. Walk in him. Gate has to do with how someone walks or runs, and therefore it's actually a really good word to use. Maybe you get a pain in your knee or your hip from walking. There are places that you can go that will analyze your gait, and they will give you a recommendation for a different pair of shoes or maybe insoles or some exercise that you can do, some stretching that you can do to fix that gait so that as you walk, you no longer have pain. And that is so much better than just relying on drugs that mask the pain but don't actually fix the problem, right? Paul, of course, is not talking about physical walking, but he's using it as an illustration that we will understand because we walk. He's using it as an illustration so we will understand how to live life as a child of God. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. The same gospel must constantly inform our current way of life. Just as you received. How did you receive Jesus? We already talked about that. By faith. Who is Jesus? He is the Lord. Therefore, walk in faith. Walk in obedience to God. The word walk carries with it a sense of continuing to walk. It's not a matter of just walking for a time and then stopping. It has that sense of going. The Christian life is not a destination. It is, in fact, an ongoing activity. The Christian life is a determined, ongoing activity. If we do not determine to walk in a manner pleasing to God, we will most certainly not live in a manner pleasing to God. Did you catch that? If we do not determine to live a life that is pleasing to God, we will not just accidentally live a life that's pleasing to God. Right? There has to be some determination, some intent in that. Godly living is not natural. What's natural is self-serving living. Living for my own desires, living for my own purposes. What I feel like doing, I do. What I don't feel like doing, I'm definitely not going to do. So how are you doing in your walk with God? Is it a steadfast gait that reflects the gospel in your life, that the gospel is working in your life? Or is your walk with God haphazard? And maybe sometimes it's steady and maybe sometimes it's haphazard. Excuse me. It's a new year. It's a great time for that self-examination. But self-examination only works if you'll be honest with yourself. And that's hard. Be honest. Is your prayer life what it ought to be? What definitive steps will you take to improve it? Who will you tell to hold accountable? Or who will you pray with? The best kind of accountability right there. Are you absorbing scripture regularly? And I used absorbing even though it's kind of an awkward word because it doesn't have to be reading, okay? It can be reading, but it could be listening. How are you taking in the Word of God? What specific goals do you have regarding scripture? Reading, memorizing, meditating. And how are you going to communicate scripture to others? Because scripture is never just about intake, it's also about sending it out. Pastor Chad, why are you always talking about read your Bible, pray every day? I won't say who just smiled really big, but one of our young child Sunday school teachers, whose name rhymes with Sonia, smiled really big because she knows the song, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. It's a cute little song, especially when the little kids stand up here and they go, grow, grow, grow. But in the cutesiness of the song, perhaps we miss the fundamental reality that we will not grow if we are not in the Word. I talk about reading your Bible and praying all the time because it is that basic to the Christian life. And I need the reminder as much as you do. Another spiritual resolution for a new year might be to be a better witness, to share the gospel more with people this year than you did last year. And if you didn't share it with anyone last year, then that's an easily attainable goal. It's a great goal, actually. But guess what? If you don't read your Bible, if you don't have the Bible coming in, if you're not spending time in prayer communicating to God, you're probably not going to share the gospel with anyone. That's how fundamental the Bible and prayer are to our lives. To please God with our walk, our gait needs to be a faith-based, Bible-saturated gait. New Year, same gospel, steadfast gait. Thirdly, sure grounding. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith just as you were taught. One of the metaphors Scripture uses for the Christian life is that of a tree rooted in Jesus. The problem with people is that we are not trees and we figure out how to uproot ourselves. We figure out how to detach ourselves from that fertile soil that is the Word of God, that is Jesus Christ. And of course, that's to our own detriment. He says, rooted and built up, established. All these words help give us the picture of our foundation. What was implied in verse 6, as you receive Christ, we said that implied faith. How did you receive Christ? You received him by faith. What was implied in verse 6 is stated explicitly here in verse 7. Rooted, built up and established in the faith. Our foundation, our grounding is found in trusting Jesus for our everything, for our salvation, the removal of our sin, the receipt of righteousness from him. Trusting him for our spiritual growth. It's founded and grounded in Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean we don't have effort. We do have effort. There is effort into living a godly life. But when that effort is made outside of our grounding, it's much like a pig walking on ice. Doesn't work very well. Verse continues, just as you were taught. So verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught. All too many believers go through life reading the word, hearing the word preached and taught, but never really put effort into what they have heard or read from the scripture. And as such, when trouble arises, we're completely unprepared. As we've been taught. How do we get taught? We get taught by reading the word. We get taught by, you know, being preached at. We get taught by being taught to from a teacher. It's self-study, but it's also having someone else speak the word into your life. And it prepares us for what life throws at us. Parents who do not stay grounded in the word by doing what they are taught, how can they be surprised when some of their children grow up to become wayward adults? Now, you living a godly life does not 100% guarantee that your children will also, okay? I wish it were true. It doesn't mean that. But parents who aren't grounded in Jesus Christ, how can we expect our children to be? It's a legitimate concern on our part as parents. So how are we rooted and built up? We will be rooted and built up and properly established in the faith when we do what we're taught from the Word. Verse says, just as you have been taught. Verse 7 ends with a swelling gratitude. It's a new year, same gospel, steadfast gait, sure grounding, and a swelling gratitude. Words in our text says, abounding in thanksgiving. It doesn't just say, and thankful. Abounding in thanksgiving. Abounding in thanksgiving to a person, to God. The world understands the virtue of gratitude. They do. But often their concept of gratitude is merely the emotion of feeling thankful. Biblical gratitude, however, is an unqualified declaration that God is the source of what we are thankful for. That God is the one to whom we are thankful. Do you have a warm shelter to live in? When the winds howl, the believer does not just bask in the emotional joy of gratitude. A believer thanks God, right? We thank the God of heaven who has directed that we have a warm shelter to live in. Did you have enough to eat over Christmas holidays? The believer in Christ isn't just thankful for that succulent food that we don't get all the time, but we're thankful to the God who provided the food, the means to have the food. He provided the means for us to enjoy it, because if your taste buds don't work, food is just kind of gross, right? Our thanksgiving isn't just for the things that God gives us, for the creation around us. It's for the one who gave it. Our thankfulness is to God. So just as you received Jesus, your Lord, by faith, so also are you to walk in him by faith, staying grounded in the faith, and that produces an overflow of thankfulness to God. A person who is genuinely thankful to God finds their satisfaction, their contentment, even their joy in God. All that wrapped up in these words, abounding in thanksgiving. So here's what abounding in thanksgiving does not look like. Abounding in thanksgiving does not mean that life is always smooth sailing, that you will never experience pain. Abounding in thanksgiving does not mean that all your desires and dreams will come true. What it does mean is that your heart is fixated on your Savior so much more than the distractions of a hard life or of difficult circumstances, that your heart continually produces gratitude regardless of the circumstances around you. God wants your life to continually center on the Lord Jesus. I started talking about New Year's resolutions. I encourage you to set yourself some godly, attainable goals for 2021. Our passage today didn't really give us specifics, but gave us broad targets to aim at. Take one or more of those targets and develop a plan as to how you will do that. How will your walk improve or continue to be faithful in 2022? How will you stay rooted in the gospel? How will you stay established in the faith of Jesus Christ? How will you intentionally be thankful in 2022? Don't just commit to being in the Word. Commit to a specific plan. Mention the brochures on the back table that will help you get through the Bible in a year. There are plenty of apps if you have a smartphone, a tablet, or a computer. Personally, this year, I will be listening to the whole Bible Lord willing, through a podcast, someone else reading it to me. I find that helpful. I tend to enter teaching and preaching preparation mode when I read, but when I hear, I can follow along better, and so that is my plan. If you're not sure where to start, Pastor Dan and I have various ideas. Maybe there's someone else that you know that reads the Bible regularly, and you want to do that. My point is, don't just commit to having some broad target. Have a real plan, and then follow through. Don't stop with some nebulous goal to read the Bible or to witness or to pray more. Develop a plan, an attainable plan to do those things. God wants your life to continually center on the Lord Jesus. Make plans to make the year 2022 a year that you do just that. Let's pray. Father, your word is clear that our hope and our joy is found in Jesus alone. Father, for some reason, we get distracted when life is relatively easy. We sort of see that as our own progress that we're making, and we get our eyes taken off of you. And sometimes difficulties and pain catch us off guard, and we don't immediately turn to you. Regardless of what we're in, Father, right now, help us to recognize our need to as we came to know the Lord through faith, to continue even now in faith, to trust him that he knows what he's doing, that he is Lord of our lives, and not just of our lives, but he's Lord of all creation, so we can trust that whatever he has brought into our lives, that with him we can handle. Maybe overwhelming to us by ourselves, but with him, it's okay. So Lord, use this passage of scripture to spark our imagination, to ignite our affection for you, so that we will take those steps to make 2022 a year of faithfulness on our part. Father, we know that whatever steps we take to live for you are steps that you will bless. Those are steps that will honor you. And so we ask, Father, that you would help us to do those. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how it is spoken to us this morning. We pray that you dismiss us with your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's continue to worship with, what are we doing? Beneath the cross, that's it. Beneath the cross of Jesus.